Today is the first day of June. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you as we begin a new week. And as we begin a shiny, sparkly new month. So it's all out in front of us. This is the 152nd day of the year. And I just want to express gratitude. I'm grateful that we have made it this far and that we're beginning the sixth month of the year on our year-long adventure through the Bible in its entirety and allowing it to speak to us and create a journey to the center of our soul. The very center of our identity, thoughts, words, actions, choices, and the why of them, and where the paths lead. So I am grateful to be here with you on the 20th, June 1st, as we step forward together. We'll read from the Christian Standard Bible this week. And we're picking up where we left off last month, yesterday. We're in this pretty downward spiral in King David's life. He's made some really poor choices and tried to hide them in the dark. And that has caused him to do some unthinkable things that have ultimately caused the disintegration of family respect. And everybody is watching at this point because his son Absalom is trying to take the throne away from his father. So let's see how this goes. 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 1 through 19 verse 10. David reviewed his troops and appointed commanders of thousands and of hundreds over them. He then sent out the troops, a third under Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, son of Zeruiah, and a third under Ittai of Gath. The king said to the troops, "I must also march out with you." "You must not go," the people pleaded. "If we have to flee, they will not pay any attention to us. Even if half of us die, they will not pay any attention to us, because you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore, it is better if you support us from the city." "I will do whatever you think is best," the king replied to them. So he stood beside the city gate while all the troops marched out by hundreds and thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, "Treat the young man Absalom gently for my sake." All the people heard the king's orders to all the commanders about Absalom. Then David's forces marched into the field to engage Israel in battle, which took place in the forest of Ephraim. Israel's army was defeated by David's soldiers, and the slaughter there was vast that day, 20,000 dead. The battle spread over the entire area, and that day the forest claimed more people than the sword. Absalom was riding on his mule when he happened to meet David's soldiers. When the mule went under the tangled branches of a large oak tree, Absalom's head was caught fast in the tree. The mule under him kept going, so he was suspended in mid-air. One of the men saw him and informed Joab. He said, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." "You just saw him?" Joab exclaimed. "Why didn't you strike him to the ground right there? I would have given you 10 silver pieces and a belt." The man replied to Joab, "Even if I had the weight of 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For we heard the king command you, Abishai and Ittai, protect the young man Absalom from me. If I had jeopardized my own life, and nothing is hidden from the king, you would have abandoned me. Joab said, I'm not going to waste time with you. He then took three spears in his hand and thrust them into Absalom's chest. While Absalom was still alive in the oak tree, 10 young men who were Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. Joab blew the ram's horn and the troops broke off their pursuit of Israel because Joab restrained them. They took Absalom, threw him into a large pit in the forest, and raised up a huge mound of stones over him. And all Israel fled, each to his tent. When he was alive, Absalom had taken a pillar and raised it up for himself in the king's valley, since he thought, I have no son to preserve the memory of my name. So he named the pillar after himself. It is still called Absalom's monument today. Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said, please let me run and tell the king the good news that the Lord has vindicated him by freeing him from his enemies. Joab replied to him, you are not the man to take good news today. You may do it another day, but today you aren't taking good news because the king's son is dead. Joab then said to a Cushite, go tell the king what you have seen. The Cushite bowed to Joab and took off running. However, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, persisted and said to Joab, no matter what, please let me also run behind the Cushites. Joab replied, my son, why do you want to run since you won't get a reward? No matter what, I want to run. Then run, Joab said to him. So Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushites. David was sitting between the city gates when the watchman went up to the roof of the city gate and over to the wall. The watchman looked out and saw a man running alone. He called out and told the king. The king said, if he's alone, he bears good news. As the first runner came closer, the watchman saw another man running. He called out to the gatekeeper, look, another man is running alone. This one is also bringing good news, said the king. The watchman said, the way the first man runs looks to me like the way Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, runs. This is a good man. He comes with good news, the king commented. Ahimaaz called out to the king, all is well, and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. He continued, blessed be the Lord your God. He delivered up the men who rebelled against my lord the king. The king asked, is the young man Absalom all right? Ahimaaz replied, when Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a big disturbance, but I don't know what it was. The king said, move aside and stand here. So he stood to one side. Just then the Cushite came and said, may the Lord the king hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by freeing you from all who rise against you. The king asked the Cushite, is the young man Absalom all right? The Cushite replied, I wish that the enemies of my lord the king, along with all who rise up against you with evil intent, would become like that young man. The king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber above the city gate and wept. As he walked, he cried, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom. If only I had died instead of you, Absalom, my son. It was reported to Joab, the king is weeping. He's mourning over Absalom. That day's victory was turned into mourning for all the troops because on that day the troops heard the king is grieving over his son. So they returned to the city quietly that day, like troops come in when they are humiliated after fleeing in battle. But the king covered his face and cried loudly, my son Absalom! Absalom, my son! My son! Then Joab went into the house to the king and said, today you have shamed all your soldiers, those who saved your life, as well as your sons, your wives, and your concubines. By loving your enemies and hating those who love you, today you have made it clear that the commanders and soldiers mean nothing to you. In fact, today I know that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead, it would be fine with you. Now get up, go out and encourage your soldiers, for I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will remain with you tonight. This will be worse for you than all the trouble that has come to you from your youth until now. So the king got up and sat in the city gate, and all the people were told, "Look, the king is sitting in the city gate." And they all came into the king's presence. Meanwhile, each Israelite had fled to his tent. People throughout all the tribes of Israel were arguing among themselves, saying, "The king rescued us from the grasp of our enemies, and he saved us from the grasp of the Philistines. But now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, the man we anointed over us, has died in battle. So why do you say nothing about restoring the king?" John 20. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then, following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then also went in, saw, and believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to the place where they were staying, but Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them, "and I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are seeking?" "Supposing he was the gardener," she replied, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "since I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. When it was evening on that first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Psalm 119, 153 through 176. Resh. Consider my affliction and rescue me, for I have not forgotten your instruction. Champion my cause and redeem me. Give me life as you promised. Salvation is far from the wicked because they do not study your statutes. Your compassions are many, Lord. Give me life according to your judgments. My persecutors and foes are many. I have not turned from your decrees. I have seen the disloyal and feel disgust because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Lord, give me life according to your faithful love. The entirety of your word is truth. Each of your righteous judgments endures forever. Sin. Princes have persecuted me without cause, but my heart fears only your word. I rejoice over your promise like one who finds vast treasure. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your instruction. I praise you 7 times a day for your righteous judgments. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble. Lord, I hope for your salvation and carry out your commands. I obey your decrees and love them greatly. I obey your precepts and decrees, for all my ways are before you. Taw. Let my cry reach you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my plea reach you. Rescue me according to your promise. My lips pour out praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue sings about your promise, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your instruction is my delight. Let me live, and I will praise you. May your judgments help me. I wander like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commands. Proverbs 16, 14, and 15. A king's fury is a messenger of death, but a wise person appeases it. When a king's face lights up, there is life. His favor is like a cloud with spring rain. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we begin a new week, and as we begin a new month, we receive it with gratitude. We look out over its unspoiled future, and we recognize that it's a story waiting to be told, and we're going to tell it. And if we ignore you, our telling will lead us on a path that goes in circles and leads us on a path of destruction. And so we're here standing together as a community, but individually before you, asking for help, inviting your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth as we navigate this sixth month of the year. Holy Spirit, come. Show us the narrow path that leads to life. Help us to count the cost. Help us to walk true. Lead us on a path that is lit, and not a path that walks in the darkness, a path that we so often choose. Lead us to clarity. Give us understanding. Give us foresight. Give us knowledge. Give us self-discipline and awareness. Open our eyes that we may see and our ears that we may hear. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. It's May 27th. I'm listening to the daily audio Bible reading for today. And I heard a gentleman at the end talk about how he has these panic attacks and how he's comforted by prayers and the readings from Brian. And I want to lift this gentleman up to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for his anxiety, that you just ease them, that you just make them go away, that he's able to get through his day and his nights without those panic attacks. Lord, I pray for anyone who has these panic attacks and their heart is racing and just can't calm down, Lord. You know I've had these same panic attacks, these same just anxiety-filled nights where I can feel my heart pounding out of my chest, and I know that my heart is not going to be able to keep up one day, and then that scares me all over again. Oh my goodness, Lord, ease our fears. Help us to find calmness and peace in you, God. And pray, Lord, that anything that is causing these issues, Lord, that you will just make a way. You are the way maker, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you will see us through this. You will see us through this, and then when we get to the other side, say praise and amen. And even through this, that we will say praise you, Lord, and amen. All right, have a good day. Love you guys.
This is Lori in Louisiana, and my son and I listen to the Daily Audio Bible, and he encouraged me to call. I have a mass in my colon. I have colon cancer, and they're unable to determine what stage it is right now. At first, they said a 3, but then the scan said no metastasis, and so we're praying for a 2. And for the lady whose son died of colon cancer, who prayed for us with cancer, and whose siblings were struggling with the death of their brother, I pray for them. I also lost my sister. And I'm just praying that this cancer will be the root of bitterness that I've had, and it will be cut out. And I pray that any bitterness will not take root in your children as well. Thank you.
James from Georgia. It's Susan from Canada. Godzilla Flower calling. And I just want to pray for your wife and all those suffering from cancer. Lord God, we ask for healing from the depths of our heart. We ask for healing, whether you, your holy touch changes every cell in the body to be healthy and pure and clean, or if it's from the medical science. Lord God, we pray that your healing touch would be upon them. We pray, Heavenly Father, that in all things you would be glorified, whether you choose to heal or not heal. And I also pray as the treatment plan is being addressed, Lord God, that there would be clarity and understanding, that the results would be made clear, and that wise decisions would be made for everyone involved. Oh God, eradicate this cancer from the earth. This is horrible. So horrible and devastating to so many loved ones. I pray your strength upon us all as we suffer the consequences, and ask that you be our guide in all our steps, our healing heart, and our truth in every step we take today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Prayer Warriors. This is Elizabeth from Delaware calling in, and I wanted to call out and do a shout out for George, who is now living in freedom. Thank you, George, for praising God for your new job. You encourage so many listeners, and I'm praying all those who are recently released from prison and all those still waiting for that glorious day when they will be released, that they be praising God for their freedom. And Shannon, who was also now living in freedom and out of jail, he's been blessed by being reunited with his son. And we thank you, Lord, for the many ways you, personal ways you have blessed them. Shannon has also asked that we might lift him up before the Lord, that God would provide a wife who could share his life with him. So, Lord, we thank you for that prayer, and we thank you for the way you're going to answer it. Lord, we ask you to continue to minister to George and Shannon and use them as they minister to others. May they be a great witness of your compassion and your love to others who do not know you, Lord. And as it says in Psalm 9:1, I will give thanks and praise the Lord with all my heart. I will tell aloud all your wonders and marvelous deeds. Yes, Lord, thank you for using these men. And lastly, I'd like to lift up two women there are many people needing our prayer, but today I'd particularly like to lift up Lauren, who's got Lyme disease, and Jane's wife from Georgia, who's been diagnosed with throat cancer. Lord, please heal these two women and bless them and heal them, Lord, as only you can. Fill them with your peace on these journeys to complete healing. And as it says in your holy word, Psalm 6, verse 2, have mercy on me and be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am weak and faint and frail. Heal me, O Lord, for my bodies are dismayed and anguished. Yes, Lord, thank you for the healing you're going to do in their lives and many, many lives of the believers in the DAB. Thank you, Lord, for your gracious healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.